Kia ora and welcome back. And he's here with us this morning, the man of the moment, of all moments, it's Martin Pepperell. Good morning, Martin.
Oh, good day. Good day, good day. Sorry about last week, buddy. Didn't really get the time zone conversion worked out. Woke up to a bunch of missed calls from an 03 number. Thought, I've stuck Liam up.
Don't stress. It was quite all right. The world didn't end. And it was still a good show. They just listened to a bit more music, you know? It happens sometimes.
This is all about you've got to be responsive and reactive.
That's right. Things don't always go to plan, but that's okay. You're here this week, and that's what matters. And as usual, you've brought another great song to the table. Give us a bit of insight.
Okay, so today we're listening to music from Pripyat, which is the third album by the Catalan composer Marina Herlop. This is her third album. Her first two albums, 2016's Nanook and 2018's Babashah, focused exclusively on a mixture of piano and voice in traditional, classical, Catalan compositional styles. Beautiful voice, beautiful piano, operatic upper registers, dreamily dulcet tones, just the good stuff, but traditional classical styles. Now, between 2018 and now, she incorporated electronics, computer, software, various plugins and programs into her process, started experimenting with vocal manipulation, drum programming, and further digital embellishments, leading to this record, which was released through the cult experimental German music label Pan. This is really someone in a period of transition. You know, you're talking about like someone who really trained and honed their skills in the classical realm, and then some form of event has occurred, and now they're stretching themselves into a new space and embracing all of the possibilities afforded by integrating digital music tools into what they were traditionally doing, and it's pretty trippy.
It is. It's different, that's for sure. But it is.
That's not a real language.
It's not a real language.
That's an imagined language. And you'll notice that because, you know, that relies heavily on, like syllable-based phrasing and harmonies. But there is, there's various bits and pieces of influence in the background. You know, the Carnatic music of southern India. Obviously, people like Bjork, various experimental composers. And there's a theme as well of this whole thing. So Pripyat, that title, so that's the name of a city in northern Ukraine that was abandoned after the Chernobyl disaster in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
These days it's a ghost town overgrown with trees, flowers and shrubs. You know, a sort of post-human landscape. And I think when you think about the sort of emptiness of that, you know, these empty overgrown streets, if you think about that in context of the way this music sounds when you hear it, it'll give you some ideas. But one thing I thought interesting, you know, because this is some pretty, like, deep and moving stuff. But, I mean, like I said, it's an imagined language. You know, it's more using the voices become shapes for melody and harmony structures, and it just shows, you know, you can sort of create these deep moving moments and connections in a whole range of ways. You know, it doesn't just have to be some simply incisive poetry to a beautiful melody over a nice rhythm. There's a lot of ways to touch people. I just thought it was an interesting record. I thought this interesting person and an interesting point of transition, and you know, we like a bit of interesting stuff every now and then.
Yeah, and interesting is definitely the word for it. Like, I haven't heard anything like it, and I'm still slightly shocked that it's a made-up language, to be honest. I just assumed it was a foreign language that I did not know. Anyway, I did have one question, and, you know, are you seeing a lot of kind of these classically trained artists venturing into these ultra-modern techniques of music? Like, are you seeing a lot of that, or is that kind of just how it's always been?
Okay, this is what I think. Okay, I've got two answers for this.
Okay.
I think that bits and pieces of this sort of thing have been going on ever since electronics arrived as a possibility in music in the 50s, with things like the Music Concrete movement.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most famous New Zealand music composers, Douglas Lilburn, he did these remarkable electronic works in the mid to late 20th century that sort of function as like they're sort of a sound version of a flyover of a landscape. He came from a classical background and also worked within the classical world and was quite often doing classical composing for classical work hand in hand with doing more experimental electronic stuff. So I think certain type of like classical musician or musician is in the academy, like, is always going to be interested in exploring the avant-garde. And generally, like, these schools tend to have the music laboratories with the faculty to have the sort of equipment and things. So there is like a really long and standing backdrop to it. But the second thing I want to say is for the younger generation of classical musicians doing this sort of thing, they've obviously grown up in a world that's completely different to the world classical musicians grew up in the 50s or the 80s.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
You know, like the 90s. And, I mean, look, you know, people talk about things like, you know, the idea of having a divide between, you know, the work-life divide. You know, you've got your life at home and life at work and outside of that. But it's all really fucking one life. And, you know, just because you're, like, playing classical music in an orchestra or composing or whatever, like, doesn't mean you can avoid fucking hearing fucking music coming out of cars on the street, or if you go to restaurants, you know, or maybe you want to go out clubbing with your friends. So I think this sort of stuff, or this really sort of melted down amorphous shape-shifting electronics, I think there's just been so much of that sort of stuff in the background of popular music over the last decade, 15 years. I mean, obviously, like, you know, big things like PC music, you know, producers like Sophie. I just think it's a thing which is there. And, I mean, ultimately, you know, people are, you know, products of themselves, but they're also products of the era, time, and place they emerge within. You know, fucking Spain has a lot of, like, long-standing, like, love affairs of electronic music, experimental music, but then these deeply traditional things going on in the background as well. I mean, obviously, you know, in Catalan, I mean, it's the same sort of thing. You know, there's this idea of, you know, preserving the past and tradition while trying, like, new things out and experimenting and pushing forward. Like, that's just a thing which is very present there.
Yeah.
So basically,
yeah,
I think it's a bit of both, you know. Like, I mean, it's an old thing and it's a new thing.
Well, Martin, it is always a pleasure to talk to you and get your insight on the musical realm. I hope you adjust to the time zones again smoothly.
Fingers crossed.
Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Yeah, you too. Have a great day and have a great weekend. Speak to you next week, Liam.
See you, mate. And that was our friend here at RDU, Martin Pepperell. He's also one of our music curators on the station this year. Anyway, here is his song of choice, Ubuntu. Great word, Ubuntu, by Marina Herlop. Hop, 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 hop
have la paradiga.
それで、なんかだんだん、そうそう、神様は与えてくれるんですかね。あまり夢中になってる。まあ少しは、なんか、ヒントを与えて。
Sweet.